Get your family vehicles ready for summer driving with early Memorial Day deals at Dobbs. Click on GoToDobbs.com for money saver tire and service deals today. Dobbs, with 43 locations, real deals are always close by.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Time now for the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Yes, yes. Yeah, what's up? What are you drinking? I like Hennessy too. This is Balloon Party, driven by Munganess St. Louis Ack. Here on Munganess, Burkhardt, Alton, Toyota. My name is Timothy Michael McKernan, and I'm standing across from Jackson Bennett Burkett, and he can't believe what's going on with Orlando and Cleveland.
Didn't have a 40-point win for the Magic on my bingo card.
There it is.
What the heck? What are you going to do?
Tiny PP is in the YouTube chat, which has gotten active as the day is long with this Mike Ryder innovation of the YouTube chat being over Jackson's head on the monitor, and I love it. They're talking about the Plowhawk and the Balloon Party chat. Plowhawk was with us for 10 years on TMA, and today was his last show. We just had emotional farewell.
We did.
So we're coming from that to this. So I did a few key bumps, and now I'm trying to get through it.
That was today's show was that was the especially that last segment. That was a lot. That was heavy. But yeah. It's because we love the Plowhawk so much. We're happy for him that he's going to greener pastures. But his love for the show and our love for him is mutual, and it's great. Usually in media, a lot of times you're not getting to go out on your own terms. So when you do, it's celebrated as it should be.
The Tiny Peepee, who is what Don Corleone of the YouTube chat says, the people in the YouTube chat would have loved the Plowhawk. Yeah, you would have really, I think you really, really, really loved him here on 101 ESPN with his cardinal opinions. Jackson, it is a Friday, which means I believe we have the Lil Piddles Friday six shooter, a Friday tradition unlike any other. Is that correct?
Yeah, we do. What to kick it off with, though, Tim? It's always, you know, it's so important. Leeds. No local sports played last night.
Yeah, but we can get you ready for the Cardinals and the Mets.
Yeah. Playing in Queens this evening. Miles Michaelis on the bump.
Go with that. Go with what you think is the lead. I don't. You know, this show's slap and tickle for an hour.
It is. Well, the question I have for the lead, I don't want to ask. So I'm just going to start talking about it. Need Miles Michaelis to get going. 1-3. Not going to cut it. If you can get him going. Hey, you know what? I'm going to kick it off with this. I have another in my little
all
Piddles.
Over the place right now, and I don't know what's going on.
Hypothetical Odyssey.
Oh, I like this.
So I have a bunch of those in there, but I'm just going to do one right now.
Yep.
Do you fear that as soon as the Cardinals' offense gets going, the pitching will begin to falter? I feel like I've seen this movie before.
You know, it's interesting because here in St. Louis, I feel like there's a lot of compliments regarding the pitching. I'm not necessarily saying it's wrong, but the perspective around baseball isn't that the Cardinal pitching has been particularly good. ESPN came out with its first 1 month into the season power rankings yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to find them, but I read it yesterday and I'm just scrolling and can't find them now. But either way, they had the Cardinals, I think, 24th in baseball. And they talked about how everybody knew what the problem was going to be, and the rotation is leading to that which everybody knew was going to cause problems, pitching. I am paraphrasing. Now, of course, here in St. Louis, I think everybody would say, well, we know what the situation is, and it's actually the offense.
100%.
But it's not like the pitching has been great. I mean, I think the offense has been so bad, comparatively speaking, the pitching feels like it's been good.
Yeah.
So I do think that there is, the truth lies in between the national and the local opinion, if I'm representing the local opinion, correct?
Yeah. I mean, the Cardinals are 7-2 when scoring 4 or more runs in a game, and they are 3-10 when the opponent scores 4 or more runs. So what that tells me is that if the offense theoretically can pick it up just a little, I mean, 4 runs is not a crazy amount of runs to have in a single game, then they will start winning. But my concern is that as soon as the offense gets right, starting pitching takes somewhat of a downturn. And I think also we're colored on the starting pitching because of our offseason expectations being very low. And so to come out and be decent, I mean, it'd be tough to say even locally that the starting pitching has been great, but decent, I think, is a fair representation.
Decent was on the relative
cards.
To expectations.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's what I would say. And I guess with what the writer, and I think it was Jesse Rogers, was his point would be, well, the expectations weren't high. You have one guy, and then you have four guys, and one of those guys now is already headed down I-55, at least versus where he was at the start of the season. So with that established, I think that is where the premise is coming from. What is the next part of your hypothetical, Jackson Bennett Burkett, actually?
If the Cardinals didn't win the 2011 World Series, how different do you think the front office mindset and strategy would be?
Oh, Jackson. You know, this is like, this might be a topic for today. Because I had it sent to me for QFTA. I don't know how many people in the 101 audience are aware, but Jackson and I do a podcast that is separate from this. Certainly some sports is in there, but mostly nonsense. It's kind of more my speed, to be transparent with you. And one of the we call it QFTA, questions from the audience. And a question that I received earlier this week, and I'm calling up my email right now, goes to the namesake of this show, not necessarily the namesake, but the person who inspired the title for this show, Joe Strauss, who was a columnist for the Post-Dispatch, but he initially was the beat writer for the Cardinals when he came to St. Louis, and he was the beat writer for the Orioles. I think he and Rosenthal and Buster Olney all worked together covering the Orioles. And Kirkjian was there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, And you think about like how bad that organization had been,
right?
And what but anyway, so Strauss, and then this is the question that I was asked. I'm pulling up the email right now so I can hit the hole on it. But Strauss's contention was, if the Cardinals don't make that run, and not even to the World Series, but just to the postseason, the organization was about to experience major changes, and this guy wanted me to go into it. Here we go. It's called Joe Strauss Theory. We sent this on Wednesday. And you can always email me anything you want. Hate mail's fine. I don't really care at this point. I got a quarter century of calluses. Hey, Tim, we were talking about the Cardinals and their front office and everything today in Dane Perry's Slack channel for his newsletter. Jackson, are you on any Slack channels?
No.
Is that something that you kind of shook it off like you look down on those who are? That was my read. If I'm wrong, I apologize.
It's like a corporate group chat kind of app. And I just feel like there are better ways. It's kind of confusing. And
how do you like to communicate with large groups of people?
Oh, good question. Probably just email.
Okay.
Email's probably just best.
You're not in a bunch of like group texts?
I am. Okay. I'm in a bunch of group, but that's like more friends. If we're talking professionally.
Got it.
Because then you can reply directly to that person and not everyone wants to see it.
Got it.
It can be a little bit more formal.
Okay. Well, this emailer then goes on to say, I brought up the thing that you've talked about, Joe Strauss, and what you've mentioned in the past about the front office possibly being totally cleaned out before the 2011 comeback and subsequent World Series win. Can you refresh me on the details of that? Was it just a theory? Did he have some details but not enough to do a proper report? Or can you point me to something where you've spoken about it at length in the past? I couldn't find anything. I'm happy to refresh it because it's timely to the question that Jackson just asked here on the Little Piddles Friday Six Shooter. And some of you may have heard me talk about it before, but it is relevant to the question because I think this is maybe the first time since Mike Matheny was fired in 2018 that I think Cardinal fans are wondering if there may be a change, a termination in the near future.
Sure.
I don't know which direction it would go, but do wonder about that. I mean, the Cardinals should theoretically have about 9 games here over the next week and a half. I mean, I know the Mets have made a little bit of a charge, but they're hovering around 500. Then you have the Tigers and you have the White Sox. I mean,
yeah, time to eat.
I mean, the White Sox are 3-22.
Right.
As I said on TMA this morning, you're at a point in the season where you can about multiply 7 times where stats are for what their projections would be. And of course, those aren't, you know, dead accurate mathematically, but the math is pretty simple there. The White Sox have won 3 of 25 games. They're on pace for approximately 21 wins. I think they've scored 53 or 54 runs. You think the Cardinal offense is bad? It's scored like 80-something. The White Sox have scored 30 fewer.
The Braves do that like in a weekend series.
It's unbelievable what's going on with that operation. Yeah, I mean, holy crap. Now, with that all said, what was Joe Strauss talking about? If you can recall, Walt Jocketty was fired after 2007. The reason Walt Jocketty was fired after 2007, despite being a year removed from a world championship, was because Bill DeWitt, the chairman, did not like the way that he was responsive, or lack thereof, to Jeff Luhnow and the direction the Cardinals wanted to take the organization, being more analytics-based. And Jocketty was resistant to that. If you look at the way that Jocketty built those successful teams in 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003 was a good team that didn't make the playoffs, 2004, 2005, and 2006, the world championship season. There was a lot of let's capitalize on teams that are in a payroll pinch and we will trade prospects for a star. And Bill DeWitt was under the impression that that was not a sustainable method, even though they did do the same thing in 2009, a year or two later, for Matt Holliday. And they wound up doing it again with Arenado and Goldschmidt years later. But with that all said, 2008 was not successful. 2009 was a very good team, but they were swept out of the playoffs by the Dodgers. 2010 was not a playoff season, and 2011 looked like it would not be a playoff season. So to tie it into what Strauss, I believe, knew to answer this gentleman's question, Kyle is his name, but I don't know if he wants his full name out there, so I just always respect that, is that Strauss knew that La Russa was going to retire, whether he knew it in advance or after the fact. I tend to think it was after the fact, because I think if he knew it, I think he reports it. And he would have been a credible source on that. And you then have an organization that was on the precipice of losing the second best player, or best player, depending on your perspective. It's like the Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus. What's your perspective? Stan Musial, Albert Pujols. Part of it depends on how old you are, and part of it depends on just what you value as far as greatness goes. But either way, you're not going to deny it's a huge moment if you lose a Hall of Fame manager to retirement. Surefire Hall of Famer, even though he's only theoretically halfway through his career, and mathematically that's about what it was. But those are two losses that are significant. But what Strauss's premise was is Duncan goes if La Russa goes. In addition to the organization now has missed the playoffs in three of the 4 years since Jocketty left, 2008, 2010, 2011. They were in there in 2009. They didn't win. And the one time they were in, they didn't win a game. So they haven't won a playoff game since Adam Wainwright strikes out Brandon Inge. And therefore, the organization would have lost La Russa, potentially lost Pujols, which I think they were expecting to have happen until Bill DeWitt, the chairman, decided, God, I got to try to keep him, and then made a late push, and it wasn't enough. And I think most of us would say, thankfully, as much as we appreciate what happened in 2022, it was probably better that he wasn't here for that time. Keep in mind, there wasn't a DH. But then also, Jackson, you would have had change in the front office. And my belief is Strauss thought Mazalek would have lost his job after the 2011 season, which I don't really think is as surprising as it may sound now. But if you didn't get in 8, 10, and 11, that's a good enough sample size to say, yeah, maybe it's not working, especially considering we're about to usher in a new era. No La Russa, no Pujols, no Duncan. That's material to the conversation. Now I think you'd have to give people a few guesses to see if they could name the pitching coach. Back then, everybody knew who the pitching coach was because of his material positive impact on the staff. So that, I believe, is what Strauss was referring to. So circling back to the question that led to that discussion, your question was what, sir?
Question was, if the Cardinals do not win the 2011 World Series, do you think that the front office's mindset and strategy would be different?
Yeah, I actually, as weird as it is, it's like, okay, if David Fries would have struck out instead of hit a ball over Nelson Cruz, I think that world championship carries more weight than losing in six games, as kind of crazy as it sounds, because you're talking about one moment having that much impact, but it's the difference between a world championship and a pennant.
Right.
Because there is a pennant in between that world championship and current day. In 2013, there was a 100-win team in between that world championship and current day, and that was 2015. There was an NLCS in between 2015 and present day, even though it doesn't really feel like it because it lasted about 9 hours with the Nationals in 2019. But yeah, I do think that that has given John Mozeliak a great deal of equity. And I think this, and I think this is at the core, and it's like a trade-off. I wrote about this, I don't know, around 2007, and it was not well received. And I'm not saying, oh, look, I was right. But you can make your own assessment. I think the fact that the Cardinals' two world championships in Bill DeWitt's ownership era have come with two of the more mediocre teams, relatively speaking, as crazy as it is to sound and call a world championship team mediocre, but I'm talking regular season-wise, mediocre teams, that you look at the 2000 team, which is a great team, couldn't get past the Mets in the NLCS, the 2004 team, which was probably the best team, got swept out of the World Series, the 2009 team was a great team that I think many just forget about, but you had two of the top three Cy Young finishers in that team, along with Pujols and Holiday. Ryan Ludwig was sick at that time, by the way, that didn't get a 100-win Cardinal team in 2015 that didn't get there. Yeah. My point being, the fact that they won it in 2006 and 2011, I think created the mindset that drives a lot in the fan base up the wall, and that is just get in. Because look at 2006 and look at 2011. It's like a gambler who gambles for the first time and hits a stupid ass parlay and then goes, oh, I guess I got to bet parlays the rest of my life.
Right.
Mathematically, you hit a 2% chance. And now you think that it's something that can happen exponentially more often. And in reality, that's not the case. So I think it has set the stage for a model that has actually played a role in, ironically, alienating a portion of the fan base. Do with that what you want. Do you agree? Do you disagree? The YouTube chat welcomes you to participate. Ryan Crawford says 06 and 2011 got a lot of luck. And a lot of people, I think, share that opinion. But I think it created the model of just get in, kind of like an NCAA tournament mindset, survive and advance. And of course, the Air Comfort Service text line, 314-399-9646. Oh, God, it's 10:20 already. It's already off the rails, Jackson.
Yeah.
It's already off
that's
the
right
rails. Yeah, that's when you know you got a good six shooter.
That's right.
That time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers. This is Balloon Party, driven by Munganess, St. Louis Acura, Munganess, Burkhardt, Alton Toyota on 101 ESPN and the 101 ESPN YouTube channel.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast, presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back. This is Balloon Party. It's 101 ESPN. My name is Tim McKernan. That's Jackson Burkett. You are welcome to participate in the show however you would like. The YouTube chat's a wonderful spot. 130 people in there talking it over, Jackson.
Love it.
Including Preston, S1. 2 years from now, when the Cardinals are the reigning defending champions of the world, this will all be for naught, LOL. How about that?
Hey, man. I'm as optimistic as anybody, but some things are going to have to happen before.
What would have to happen for that to happen?
One of the young pitchers would have to reveal himself and come up, because he can't just keep doing these rentals with mid-30s pitchers. That's just not a sustainable formula. And then either Jordan Walker, Nolan Gorman, Mason Winn, or all three of them need to become, you know, top 100 players in Major League Baseball. You look at the rosters from the last couple of World Series champions. At least one, probably two, in some cases three or four, top 100 players in baseball.
I'm not saying this flippantly. I mean, I don't, you know, I tell you what I think. Like it, don't, whatever. The idea of the Cardinals having enough with what they have right now, and I realize seasons of any team, whoever you think the best team in the game is right now, whether you buy into the Guardians start or the Braves having the best overall winning percentage, or you think the Dodgers will right the ship, they're in the midst of a 4-game winning streak after starting the season 12-11, their roster will look different even in a month, most likely, than it does right now. So inevitably, every team's does, especially between now and, say, the end of September, start of October. With that said, there's only so much you can do if you don't have a surplus of talent from which to deal to acquire solutions in the near term, i.e. a trade deadline. So knowing kind of the allotment of what the Cardinals have as far as surplus from which to deal to acquire solutions in the short term, it is incredibly difficult for me to see this team being a championship caliber team. And I realize plenty of you are going, no S, Sherlock. I understand that. But keep in mind, the last three world championships here in our area, if I'm unless I'm missing one, and maybe I am, 2006, 2011, and 2019, in I think in all three cases, if you would have said, even at the start of the playoffs when the Cardinals were opening up against the Padres in 2006, mid-August or even late August in 2011, and famously, in much more recent history, January of 2019, that those three teams were going to win the respective league's championship, you would have gone, there is absolutely no way. And maybe this is prisoner of the moment. I don't think it is. Even with that, in 2006, there were raw materials there. There was just a lot of injury.
Yeah.
In 2011, that one certainly seemed far-fetched, but you did have a guy in Chris Carpenter who could carry you along with a lineup of some sick talent.
Yeah, on paper, they were, you look at the lineup, you're like, how did they have the record they had in August?
Right. And then 2019, with the Blues, there was a material change right at the time where they were at rock bottom. And it's a guy who, you know, not that they carried him to greatness this year, but my God, what would the Blues point total have been this year if it was, you know, not Jordan Binnington with the lion's shares of the starts in goal? And that's what changed, in addition to a team that found themselves, came together, and started playing to potential that before the season was viewed as a likely playoff contender. So with all of that said, you know, I realize, you know, the time to buy stock is when it's at its value being the lowest. I was talking about this with Riz, as a matter of fact, a couple days ago, 105.7 The Point. And he goes, are they really that bad? And I go, I said, they're definitely not good. I don't think they're as bad as it feels right now for Cardinal fans. I really don't. It would be alarming if over the next, and I believe it's nine games with the Mets, Tigers, and White Sox, unless there's a four-gamer in there.
I think it's nine. Okay. I think they don't play three against
the Tigers. They finish below 500 against those three teams. And I'm not saying the Mets are White Sox. Nobody's White Sox ass. We might not see anything like this again. I would recommend keeping an eye on the White Sox. A lot of people thought it would be the A's. It's the White Sox. This is something else that's going on here. Yeah. The Rockies and A's are grateful for the White Sox's existence. The Cardinals get three against them. They get three against the Tigers. And then this weekend in Queens, that the boy, you better be 5-4, 6-3, or 7-2 here. This is an opportunity. So if you want to buy stock, i.e. place a long-term wager, now would be the time because you're going to get your best odds. But with that said, I look it through the lens of the pitching. Sure, you have Sonny Gray, but then how else do you visualize getting through it? Now, if you take yourself back to 2011, what Tony La Russa did after leaving Jaime Garcia in too long in game three against the Phillies, and it cost him, and they wound up losing that game and facing elimination in game four, which they obviously won in the one in the game famous Roy Halladay, Chris Carpenter showdown in game five to advance to take on the Brewers in the NLCS. It immediately started pulling the non-Chris Carpenters out of the game, any sign of trouble. So Jaime Garcia going forward, Kyle Loesch and Edwin Jackson were on a quick, quick hook. But that Colby Rasmus trade allowed for them to have bullpen depth that allowed them to bridge it to get to the guy that they were counting on by that time, and that was Jason Mott, who was not the closer at the start of the season. That is not what the makeup of this roster is at this moment. And you wouldn't be doing that in April and May anyway, where you're pulling starters, you know, in the third inning. But overall, that is who's the two starter?
Does not make himself available.
You might go Kyle Gibson. He's got one really bad start. But if you did get a chance to follow that game on Wednesday, and I don't know how many people really did, it was a day game. But holy crap.
He was working out of jams left and right.
Yeah, I mean, he got out of them. But
a lot of weak contact.
He was in it.
Yep.
And he's had some rough ones. Steven Matz has had two bad ones after some good ones to start the season. I feel like Lance Lynn is dancing with the devil every time he's out there.
Yeah.
So who do you rely on in order to get you there? And that's where I'm coming from. And then the thought process can be, well, they can acquire pitching at the trade deadline, but in order to do that, you have to be able to trade from a place of value to make a seller want to trade that pitcher, who of course has value and therefore has other suitors from other clubs, to your franchise. And I just don't know where that's coming from right now. You see what I'm saying? Like, where is that young value, whether it be pitching or hitting on this club in this organization where they're dealing from a place of surplus. One of the default positions to take is that the Dodgers are doing what they're doing because of their money. That is in part accurate. But if you look up and down the successful run of the Dodgers, and I think they would probably say it should have been more successful than it's been so far, considering the run it's been with only one world championship and the abbreviated season of 20, a lot of those guys are homegrown. Now, yeah. Don't get me wrong. You have the Ohtani, Yamamoto will acquire Betts, will acquire Freeman. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that this is apples to apples with the Cardinals at all, but they have had a lot of success with scouting. Matter of fact, I had a listener send me a roster of current major league players who were with the Cardinals.
Oh, I almost
and I will reveal it to you on the other side of the break, brother. We've always talked about doing it. We didn't do it. An audience member did. And I will have that for you on the other side of the break. Dig in. It's next on Balloon Party.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
The drop. Yeah, I like it too. What about you? Can you tell I'm buying time right now?
I like the trumpet bed here.
Let's enjoy some brass. I wonder what percentage of the audience knows I played the trumpet in third grade at St. Gabriel the Archangel.
How's your embouchure?
I don't know what that means, and I'm an educated man.
Might be a woodwind thing only. I played the saxophone, of course.
Oh, we could have a little band.
Yeah, I was so good. My parents made me practice outside.
I enjoyed that. Jackson, I deep tease it to this. An audience member, I don't know if it's TMA or Balloon Party or Tim McKernan Show podcast, hell, I don't know, but it doesn't matter. Sent me this, DM'd me on Facebook, and sent me a roster that he built of former Cardinals in the major leagues, and then said, decide which team you would rather have. I want to give him proper recognition as well. I think that's only fair. Don't you think that's only fair?
I think it's the right thing to do.
I think he's in South Carolina, too. We had a good exchange the other day.
Oh.
He's a good fella, huh? Aaron, do you pronounce it Beansy? Well, I like it if it's Beansy. B-E-N-S-E?
He's probably silent at the end. Probably, but it would be Beans? I had a buddy in college named Beans. Good guy.
Wasn't there a guy in Sopranos named Beansy?
Beansy, yeah. Well, yeah.
So this might be him.
Richie Aprile and him had a tough conversation.
They did, very
veal tough. Parmesan sandwich.
Tough talk. Yeah. Tough talk.
Oh, well, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of Aaron Beansy, your thoughts. Now, I would tell you this. The infield isn't going to really be overwhelming. I think it's clear you would rather have the Cardinal infield, although the dollars associated with the current Cardinal infield, you know, and the production wouldn't necessarily excite you at the corners at the moment. I still think that there's a good chance that we're going to see substantial improvement there. I don't know if it's going to be 2022 caliber improvement. Montero with the Rockies.
Okay.
Who isn't really doing all that much.
Yeah.
Sosa, you remember him?
Yeah, Lindo.
Shortstop. He has got him at second.
Okay.
Ramon Urias. Or Paul DeYoung at short.
Probably Urias.
So you kind of get the idea.
Yeah.
He's with the Orioles, for the record. Patrick Wisdom, not really getting much playing time these days with the Cubs.
I had some moments in the past couple of years, but I would still take Goldie, obviously.
So, I mean, that kind of, you kind of go, okay, well, things aren't that.
I have a feeling things are going to take a turn.
That's up to you. Behind the plate, it's up to you also. Carson Kelly, Andrew Kisner, coin flip. I think people would be happy with Contreras. I don't know if people would want to say that in 2028, but right. But at the moment.
Especially with Herrera as well.
I would agree with that part. Now we go to the outfield and pitching.
Give me a box of tissues.
Randy Arozarena. Adolis Garcia. And then whoever you want to be your third outfielder of Tyler O'Neill, Harrison Bader, or Lane Thomas. You also have Richie Palacios, who's off to a pretty good start with the Rays.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. So there's that. Yeah. You're doing fine.
So far, I mean, you know, Arozarena, that one really stings.
Let's take a look at our starting rotation.
This one's going to just throat punch. You're even punching the throat.
You're about to be.
Yeah.
Well, who are we gonna open up the series against the Mets with? Well, we got Michaelis. We could have Zach Allen.
Yeah.
Okay, well, fine. But then who's going to start the second game?
Right.
Well, now he's not available at the moment.
Sure, but...
Sandy Alcantara.
Yeah, he's got some hardware on his shelf.
Name one award he's won.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it's not the Piddles Award of Excellence.
Oh, by the way, the DH is Marcelo Zuna.
But the Piddles Award of Excellence, of course, goes to...
That's what the Piddles Award?
It goes to Steven Matz after his performance in the last game.
Thank you. That was a nice gesture on your part. Your third starting pitcher is Jordan Montgomery. Your fourth starting pitcher is Michael Wacha. And rounding out the rotation is Jordan Hicks. Okay. So which rotation would you rather have?
I think you could offer that rotation to like 20 teams in baseball right now, and they would all snap it up without even thinking twice. And the Cardinals rotation, I don't know if the White Sox would take it. So there's that.
The 3-22 Chicago White Sox.
The Rockies put up a fifth of their total runs for the White Sox last night.
God, that's right.
They
scored 10 runs.
Yep.
And then we've got a potpourri of people to talk about from a quote-unquote depth standpoint, I apologize. Oviedo, Jack Flaherty, Weaves, Luke Weaver, Chris Stratton, Drew Verhagen, TJ McFarland, in addition to Dak Hudson, Austin Gomber, Jose Quintana, who I believe is opposing Michaelis tonight, if memory serves. Or is that tomorrow?
Buto.
Oh, that's
tonight.
Right. I believe Quintana's tomorrow then. Cabrera, Luis Garcia, John Brebbia, and Guillermo Zuniga. So there is what it would look like if you would like to take a gander at past Cardinals currently in the major leagues.
Yeah, pitching is just like so far and away. You hold that up and you're just like, there's just no way to talk around a lot of that. Arozarena, another one where it's like, because some of those, Tyler O'Neill being a prime example, like that just wasn't working. Injuries were such an issue.
Let me make this clear. No, is an overriding point.
Yeah.
All right. Because yes, I mean, in hell, in the case of Gallen, he went along with Alcantara for Ozuna.
Right.
So this is fantasy land. All right. I want to make this clear. This actually isn't going to happen. We don't have this choice. These gentlemen are spread out throughout North America right now. What I'm trying to present, and what do you call him, Beansy?
Beansy
in South Carolina. Yeah. And that's where Beansy was based out of in The Sopranos, right? He was in South Carolina. There were feuding families. There was Jersey. There was Lower Manhattan. And then there was the South Carolina family.
Yeah, the Savannah outfit.
Right.
I guess that's in Georgia. Boy, come on, Jackson.
I know what I did is I moved past it because I was there and I flew into Savannah.
It's close. It's really close.
Yeah, 45 minutes. Bit of a pain in the ass when you have to fly to Chicago and then to Savannah. But hey, that's not what we're talking about, Jackson. Don't distract me because I know you want to talk about Embiid. Here is the overall point that I'm trying to drive home. And you can do with it. Well, you don't have to agree with me.
Sure.
I don't want to say I don't care, but it's just not going to really impact me. And if you do agree with me, that's great. I'm just trying to present this perspective that may not get as much attention. So many of the complaints around the Cardinals, I think at the moment, are about John Mozeliak or Ali Marmol. And I understand that. Mazalek is the front person for baseball operations. He is, by definition, literally in charge of baseball operations. And you see what has gone on with baseball operations lately. And Ali Marmol is the manager. I understand that. But they don't run the organization. And are we going to blame John Mazalek or Ali Marmol for Paul Goldschmidt?
You can't.
Are we going to blame John Mazalek or Ali Marmol for Nolan Arenado? And what, he's got a home run this year?
One.
Are we going to blame Ali Marmol or John Mazalek for Jordan Walker? I mean, there are other coaches. This looks like Mizzou's basketball team during a timeout with how many coaches they have.
Mm-hmm.
And then with regards to the dollar thing, the DeWallet thing, I would say, if anything, Bill DeWitt has been guilty of not hoarding money and going Oakland A's, Sacramento, or Pittsburgh Pirates. If anything, he has spent irresponsibly, like a college student with a credit card, by pissing money away on not getting value and then having to pay for dead money or just bankrolling dead money on the payroll. That is really, to me, what has been egregious. The biggest sin of all, from my standpoint, is that, and one of the great phrases on social media is holding people accountable. However, and I do think that there's value to this, I think it does carry weight when people in any business know that if the performance isn't meeting expectation, that the guy in charge isn't afraid to walk up and put a bullet in your head. It just sends a message. And considering where the Cardinals are and what they've been, and that there has not been any of that, it's a little surprising. And you can say, well, they did it with Mike Schilt. But Mike Schilt was not terminated because of performance. That's the part that is eye-opening to me. So that's why I want to point this stuff out, because I know what it's like, you know, it's like in politics. You highlight the big, bright issues that maybe activate voters, but they're really not the things that matter and will impact, whether it be how you live, how much money you have.
Polling data.
Correct. And the next thing you know, we're talking about things that just don't really matter, but they'll get people to vote and it'll get you some cable news ratings. It's talking about DeWallet and talking about Ali Marmol and how he is condescending, and talk about John Mazalek and how he's condescending. That'll activate people. That'll get people going. But there is a list of former Cardinals who are currently playing baseball in the major leagues. The Cardinals have a $200 million payroll. That is not inexpensive. But you can argue on what your proper return on investment is. And I would tell you that what you're getting so far, it would not be deemed a return on investment by a man who's a billionaire. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. I tip my cap. If you've become a billionaire, odds are you did some things right. Now, I know in 2024, somehow many demonize those who have been successful, but usually it takes some savvy, some great character, believe it or not all, but some, and across the board, taking risk and knowing what you're doing. So the idea that somebody with a dog avatar on Twitter knows better than those who are actually in the trenches is rather ridiculous if we really take a step back, especially considering that the payroll is $200 million. What we can point out are the facts. These guys are with the organization. They no longer are. Now, in some cases, they were trades. In other cases, they were moves made for ridiculous reasons, one with a live Instagram stream in Atlanta in 2019. But the player development and talent judgment of this organization over the last 7 years is what the real baseball crime is. It's not hoarding money. That's the core issue. And that is why I want to present this to you in the audience. This is Balloon Party 101 ESPN.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back, Balloon Party 101 ESPN. My name is Tim McKernan. That's Jackson Burkett, and this is the final segment of Balloon Party for the week. Jackson, what's on your itinerary now that you're a man in love?
For the weekend?
That's right.
Hoping the ball strike today.
Well, the conditions look like they might be challenging as I gaze to the southwest from my perch in Creve Coeur, also while wearing 6-inch lifts.
That's right. So hope to get out today. Tomorrow.
Where are you playing? You're playing St. Louis again?
Gateway today. Public, but what are you gonna do? Tomorrow night, My girlfriend and I are going to Greta Van Fleet at Chaffetz. Really looking forward to that. That's going to be great.
Wow, look at you guys.
Yeah, really, I love Greta Van Fleet, and I'm very excited. First time I'll get to see him in concert, so very much excited. Wish they were playing some more stuff off the older albums, but what are you going to do? And then Sunday is Sunday's game day. Sunday is Fan Page Club Championship.
Well, you're right, Jackson. It's the Jay Randolph Jr. Fan Page Club Championship. 64 of the best golfers in the St. Louis area, at least with handicaps of 25 or so, will be participating in, I think this is the 8th Jennings Randolph Jr. Fan Page Club Championship. Field of 64 gather, balls in the air at 11:30, and thousands of people are expected to be in the gallery at Gateway National.
It's really a who's who of St. Louis area golfers. I imagine multiple satellite trucks out there. I wouldn't be surprised if 101 does some live coverage, or at least...
I assume Jamie Rivers will be there following your group. Let's go down to Dottie Pepper with Tim's group, but Jamie Rivers is following Jackson Burkett's.
Yeah. I won't comment much during the round. I like to stay locked in. You know, I have some breathing techniques and patterns I like to do.
Oh, yeah, 747.
Right, exactly. 747's been huge for me, really making my breath a weapon. Has really revolutionized my game. So I'll be pretty locked in during, but after, I'll be very affable. You know, I'll talk to the people.
You will talk with the people.
Sure.
You always sign. That's the thing. I know my sons always like to get your autograph.
Yeah. I don't personalize, you know, like I'm not going to write a blog on your, you know, glossy, but you know, I'll sign.
That's a gesture.
And I put a little heart instead of an O in Jackson.
Yeah, I like that part.
It's my so if you see any signatures out there that doesn't feature that, it's a forgery.
You know that that's a forgery.
It's a forgery.
It's good that people can know that. Get involved on the program, 314-399-9646. Air Comfort Service, text line, and of course the YouTube chat where Tiny PP, Droid Effects, and is it Jay Apple talking?
Yeah. Nice people out there.
Yeah, they're wonderful people. Bloom Party YouTube chat. 162 people in there talking it over. Love to see it. Come on in and become a friend of the feather. Jackson, one more time. One more question.
One more question for you, Tim.
Jackson's buying time.
One more question. Well, we're going to need a quick hitter.
Yeah, I like a quick hitter. Usually by uniforms or something like that.
Do you like the Mets uniform, generally?
It's fine.
It's pretty like lower tier New York sports uniform. Like the Knicks do that color. Rangers. Rangers is the best New York. You know, it's Knicks close second. Ooh, I'll go Yankees close second.
Now you're arguing with yourself.
Knicks third. The top three is elite. You go Rangers, Yankees, Knicks. Now, a lot of that is tradition, but those are three just outstanding uniforms. Yankees might actually be one.
Yeah.
I'll go Yankees.
Might be one in sports.
Yes, I would say that.
That's why I was stunned to hear where you were going with that.
I really like the Maple Leafs whole thing.
Well, fortunately, they moved to Toronto, so you don't have to worry about them in New York.
Certainly not in New York. The Devils, and I like the Islanders uniforms. Devils, ugh, no good. I don't like the logo.
What do you think about that Islanders Hurricane series?
I wish the Islanders, if that's my family on my mom's side, all New York.
Oh my God, there's a real take coming.
All Long Island folk.
I was just going to give a little red meat to the audience before I headed out for the weekend, and all of a sudden you're actually breaking this down.
My family comes from Long Island. My uncle is a huge Islanders fan, and I'm just disappointed that things haven't gone their way in a while.
Down 3-0 to the Hurricanes, as I'm sure you know.
Yeah, well, I mean,
had to make a goaltender change last night.
Game two was brutal. I mean, 10 seconds, they lose the lead. Sucks.
All right, Jackson, time for us to go. BK and Ferrario are coming your way. We will return on Monday with Balloon Party. For Jackson Bennett Burkett, I'm Timothy Michael McKernan. Thank you all the loyal listeners. Hey, Marsh is in the YouTube chat. Your guy.
Hey, Marshy.
Thank you to all the loyal YouTube chatters, including Marshy Marsh and his playful posse. And we'll see you at Gateway National. I will sign and talk with you throughout the day, by the way. For Jackson Bennett Burkett, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been Balloon Party on 101 ESPN, driven by Munganess, St. Louis Acura. Munganess, Burkhardt, Alton, Toyota on 101 ESPN and the 101 ESPN YouTube channel.
You've been listening to The Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast, presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.